I'll call the House Transportation Committee to order. It's 1:04 p.m. on Tuesday, April 23rd. Committee members present are Representative Drummond, Representative Plamen, Representative Story, Co-Chair Stutes, and myself, Representative Wohl. I'd like to thank Eric Heimbinger, the moderator, LIO moderator, and Julie Bushman, recording secretary, committee staff. Ann Ritgers is here today. We'll have a second hearing up with public testimony for SB 54 and HJR 14, and a first hearing for SJR 11. This is the second hearing for HJR 14, urging the Alaska Congressional Delegation to pursue infrastructure funding for a deep draft Arctic port in Nome. Requesting the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to send a letter from the state to the Alaska Congressional Delegation supporting a deep draft Arctic port in Nome, and so on and so forth about the deep draft port in Nome. Sponsored by Representative Foster. Representative Foster, Paula Bull, if you would come up to the table. But today's just public testimony, is that correct? Second hearing. Representative.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think we were, I think public testimony was public up testimony. But we're certainly available for questions, and I could just reiterate the 3 points that the...
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Absolutely.
I'd like to recognize Representative Tallarico is here.
Representative Neil Foster, House District 39 from Nome, and we also have...
Paula Bull, staff to Representative Foster.
And just to reiterate the 3 points that the resolution makes, it states... it asks that the legislature urge our congressional delegation to pursue infrastructure funding, number one. Number two, that the Alaska Department of Transportation send a letter to our congressional delegation supporting the deep draft Arctic port. And number three, that the Alaska DOT work collaboratively with the City of Nome to provide technical support. And that's all.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I think we can proceed to public testimony. I will open public testimony. Looks like we have two people online for questions, Joy Baker, Port Director, City of Nome, and Ryan Anderson, DOT in Fairbanks. And it looks like we have two public testifiers. I will start with Ray Ward from Anchorage. Ray, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, you want to state your name, affiliation, and your testimony?
Yes, my name is Ray Ward, and I'm calling you from Anchorage. I'm a voter, taxpayer, and resident of the state of Alaska. I've been most of my life. My father was one of the first African Americans to settle in Alaska Territory, and he's helped build the state of Alaska 52 years in construction. So Alaska is my home, and I love the state dearly.
Thank you. Do you want to speak about the port of Nome?
Yes. Yes, I have concern, especially with the Dyer Strait of Alaska's economy. And I have some suggestive ideas to develop Alaska's economy and the Arctic region that would generate long-term sustaining revenues. And in light of the massive melting of the ice in the Arctic Ocean, this has opened up what is known as the Northwest Passage, which is paving the way for the next economical boom, and that is for the maritime industry. And in order for Alaska to get in on this next big boom, of the tremendous revenues that's going to be generated by the passage of maritime vessels in the Northwest Passage, Alaska needs to invest in developing not only the port at Nome, but at Uvik and at other Arctic coast regions of Alaska. Already, Norway, Finland, Russia, Greenland, Canada are already gearing up for this next big maritime boom. Already cruise liners have made maiden voyages through the Northwest Passage, and this is going to open the way for cargo, maritime cargo, and the commercial fishing industry, because the Northwest Passage from Asia, Europe, to the eastern United States cuts the time in half and expense for transport as opposed to going down through the south of America through the Panama Canal. In addition to that, Alaska's legislators need to lobby our congressional delegates to lobby the United States Defense Department for the installation of a United States Naval or Coast Guard headquarters in our Arctic region. Because as it is now, Alaska's Arctic border is wide open. Okay? Should have the Coast Guard in Kodiak and Juneau, but it's a far, far distance from our Arctic region. As you know, because of the strategic geographical location of Alaska, we are subject to invasion from the North Korea, from China, from Russia. In addition to that, because of the opening of the Northwest Passage and the melting of the Arctic sea ice, this has warmed the temperatures of the Arctic Ocean. The gems of the Bering Sea for the commercial industry are diminishing tremendously and are migrating to the Arctic region because of a more abundant food supply and warmer waters. Here again, if we don't have the United States Naval headquarters there in the Arctic or Coast Guard, then we're gonna be subject to the violation of the Stephen and Magnuson Act in the Arctic region, the 200-mile limit by foreign fishing vessels from Japan, from China, from Korea, from Russia. So it's imperative that we invest money to develop the Arctic region of Alaska. Infrastructure, deep water ports. In addition, and the development, investment into our Arctic will generate long sustaining revenues for the state of Alaska because those maritime commercial vessels and the fishing vessels, they're going to need facilities to dock it. Docking fees, you're looking at revenues being generated. Fuel, supplies, medical needs, that's going to occur. Okay.
Thank you.
In addition to that, okay.
Mr. Ward, are you near the end of your testimony?
Yes. Let's develop. Let's build a pipeline from Pluto Bay on Kuparik. It's a shorter distance from the natural gas fields that already developed to our coast, to our Arctic coast. But we're going to have to develop the deep water ports because the natural gas, no matter what terminus, it's going to be transported by cargo tankers. So I think in order for us to develop long-term sustaining revenues for the state of Alaska, investment into the Arctic region, our Arctic coast, the ports, infrastructures, installation of our military defense system is imperative.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Thank you for your testimony. You covered a lot of areas of positive results of that port. Next up, we have Doug Walrath from Nome.
Good afternoon. Yes, for the record, my name is Doug Walrath, citizen of Nome. In my professional capacity, Director of NOME's Regional Training Center, the Northwestern Alaska Career and Technical Center. So I'm calling this afternoon to testify in support of House Joint Resolution 14, and Mr. Ward did a wonderful job of outlining many talking points from military defense to economic competitiveness. So I guess I'll just go to the angle of workforce development training. So. Since we're situated here and know that well, are supported in the Nome region to do workforce development training that would support a deep draft port here in Nome. And I would just say I'm speaking to where the U.S. is situated, and uniquely Alaska, if not for the voice of Alaska and our congressional delegation noting the need for a deep draft port in Nome. I think in the lower 48, there were many who are perhaps not even aware that the U.S. is an Arctic nation. And I think as a result of that, we're woefully unprepared and behind the eight ball with regard to where other Arctic nations are at. So should we remain, you know, economically competitive in the future? I mean, I've looked to the areas where the U.S. has been so strong in the past, whether that's military, you know, space exploration, aerospace. It's kind of surprising how far behind we are in this area, and it really requires the voice of our congressional delegation to advocate on behalf of, you know, Alaska for a deep draft port in Nome, which is really advocating on behalf of the U.S. as a whole. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Walrath. Any questions? Seeing none, I'd like to recognize Representative Rasmussen has joined us a little bit ago, and that's all we have for public testimony. And is there anyone in the room which wishes to testify? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. That brings the bill back. Are there any questions or briefing? We're back on. Are there any questions from the committee?
I have a question.
Representative Stutes.
I had a question. I got to remember what it was. Oh, I know what it is. Thank you. Through the chair. Did we see this before? Something along these lines? It seems to me, I missed last week's presentation, but it seems to me I've seen this before because I think it's really an interesting, exciting prospect. Thank you.
And Madam Co-Chair, Representative Foster, we have not. This is the first time we've presented this resolution.
Oh, interesting. I've seen it somewhere before the through the chair again. Thank you. I've seen this information before somewhere, and I found it really interesting and really exciting, the potential of it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if
yes.
I could, Representative Foster.
Yeah.
And you have seen this, Representative Stutes. It's been in the legislature over the years, in various forms, whether it be potentially a lunch and learn, but I think within the Arctic Committee presentations there.
Oh, maybe not.
And so, yeah.
Thank you.
Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to ask on the record if the sponsor of the bill would be open to a friendly amendment to add the Port of Alaska onto the resolution, asking for support from the federal government, since they're both, I think they're the only two in the state that are considered strategic defense ports, and as we all know, the Port of Alaska is also in need of a lot of financial assistance. So,
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Foster. And if Joy Baker, she's the harbor master for the Nome Port, if I could defer to her on that.
Sure. Ms. Baker, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Did you hear the question from Representative Rasmussen?
Yes, I did. And this is Joy Baker, Port Director for the City of Nome. I did, through the chair, hear from Representative Rasmussen. I guess my first thought would be that this is about shipping in the Arctic and being able to service deep draft vessels in the Arctic, and it isn't really a financial request. Specifically, I mean, I certainly don't want to step on Representative Foster's toes if there was any intent there, but we discussed this being a non-fiscally related request. So I would think that tying us to Anchorage somehow defeats the purpose for trying to develop maritime infrastructure in Arctic waters where there currently is not.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Baker. This is not as was stated, this resolution is not a request for funding. It seems like this resolution is specifically for Nome, the city and port of Nome. Even the name of the port in Anchorage, calling it the Port of Alaska is confusing. Just on title, when you say we want to do the Port of Nome and the Port of Alaska, and the next question for many people would be, well, where's the Port of Alaska? Which Alaskan city is it in? I know people in Anchorage co-opted the name of Alaska as the name of their port through their Chamber of Commerce, but I don't believe that is really the name of the port in the city of Anchorage. I guess you can name anything anything. I guess we could call Juneau Constantinople, but anyhow, back to the point in hand about your amendment. Do you wish to pursue that at this moment?
No.
Okay. Thank you. And I was looking for a motion from my co-chair. Are there any questions from or comments from the committee about this resolution? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Wohl. Yes, I'm really pleased to see this resolution come before the Transportation Committee. As people have said, Arctic Port is very important for development and for, I think, security reasons. And so I hope this will be well received on the floor.
Thank you. I guess my only question, one of the callers mentioned natural gas and building a pipeline to a port such as Nome, but the port would be frozen for much of the, not all of the year, but enough of the year that having a reliable transport of natural gas might be difficult in its current partially frozen status. Is that correct? Or the people that have looked into this, I'm sure. Do you know anything about that,
Representative Foster? Mr. Chairman, Representative Foster here. You are correct. The port is frozen in for a good part of the winter. I would maybe add that this winter has been very unique in that the ice went out just before Iditarod, before the finish, which was very early, and it set, I think, in December or January, so it wasn't very long. But in terms of a natural gas pipeline going to Nome and doing year-round, it certainly wouldn't be year-round because ships can't make it in year-round. So you are correct in that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, may I have a motion, Madam Co-Chair?
Mr. Co-Chair, I would be delighted to make a motion. I move to report HJR 14 version 31-LS053993. Let me say that again. 31-LS0593/M with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations from committee.
Seeing and hearing no objections, this bill is so moved, and we will sign the packet after committee, and we'll move on to our next bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee.
Next up is a second hearing for SB 54, an act approving the transfer of certain Alaskan Railroad Corporation land, providing for an effective date. Senator Coghill and staff Reneva Moss.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for inviting us and having the Senate Bill 54 before you. I think you've had a hearing previously. This really fixes an oversight, the issue of the Healy land transfer from the railroad to the buyers. We just missed that one portion based on lease information we had that didn't have the total property sale. So this goes back and allows them to purchase it. I think it's a good thing for both the Healy area, the railroad, and the purchasers. So with that, certainly Reneva Moss, my chief of staff, is much more versed in the details.
Thank you. We also have people from Alaska Railroad online for questions and testimony. Andy Donovan, Andy Berend, Tim Sullivan, and John Cook is on the line for public testimony, which I will begin shortly. Reneva Moss, do you have anything to add to
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, this is not a new sale. It's a sale that was approved by the legislature but the description, I made a mistake in the description, so we're correcting it.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the committee? At this point, I'll open public testimony. And I see online we have John Cook. John, are you there?
Thank you, Chair Wool and members of the committee. My name is John Cook. I am chair of the board of directors of the Alaska Railroad Corporation and have also served on the real estate committee for the past 9 years. So just calling in to voice our support for SB 54, the customer purchased the portion of the land at Otto Lake and Healy for the hotel complex that they were able to do under the legislation passed last year. They prepaid the remaining portion, which is currently in front of you today. So the money is queued up and literally in escrow. So we just look forward to your support to clean up this area from a year ago. The customer is ready to get to work this summer, and we appreciate any support you can give moving this out quickly. One day in May is worth three in October, so they're ready to go to work, and I'm here for any questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you, John. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, anyone in the room wish to testify? Seeing none, we will close public testimony. Brings us back to the bill. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Seeing none, Madam Co-Chair.
Once again, I'd be happy to make a motion, Mr. Co-Chair. I move to report Senate Bill 54, version 31-LS0426/M, with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations from committee.
Seeing and hearing no objections, this bill is so passed, and we will stick around after the meeting and sign the packet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Committee members. We will move on. Next up is SJR 11, urging the United States to issue a presidential permit authorizing a railroad crossing the Alaska-Canada border from the state, from state land into Yukon, Alaska. Senator Hughes and Amy Bushnell, staff to Senator Hughes. I see Amy here. You proceed.
Hello, for the record, my name is Amy Bushnell, staff to Senator Hughes, who I believe should be on her way. She can join us when she comes in.
I want to also say we still have three of the same people from the railroad still online to answer questions, Andy Barron, Tim Sullivan, and Andy Donovan.
To start out, I would just like to make a clarification for members of the committee and the public that SJR 11 is a railroad resolution, and it is different from Representative Tallarico's railroad resolution. This resolution is urging the federal government to issue a presidential permit to allow a cross-border railroad from Canada into Alaska. Presidential permits were given out by the president, hence their name switched over to Secretary of State, and they are necessary for any sort of international infrastructure in the United States to our neighbors, be they pipelines, road, or in this case, rail. The Senate Transportation Committee has had a couple companies come forward and mention that they wanted to go from Canada by rail into Alaska and ship out via our ports. One of the next things that they had to do was try to convince their investors that they really could get into Alaska, and that was the presidential permit. SJR 11 is not tied to either company that came to us. It is not the prerogative of the legislature to pick winners or losers, and that's not what the resolution wants to do. It just wants to open the economic opportunities for Alaska and allow commerce to come in. By allowing this permit to go across the border and connect our rail line into Canada, we would finally be connected to the North American rail system. The legislature has been trying to do this for about 100 years now to be connected. So this would just kind of be that next step. So.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing and hearing none. Is the senator have any presentation besides what you gave us already as far as details on the railway or companies involved or anything like that?
We thought that it would be best to wait until public testimony to allow either company to be able to speak for themselves, okay. since we felt the resolution specifically not talking about them, let them speak for themselves okay. on Thursday.
And they are, we have public testimony forthcoming, I imagine. I don't know if it's Thursday. Okay, I'm told it's Thursday. So I guess we can wait till then. No questions on the project, I guess, until we... Representative Story, it looks like you might have a question.
Thank you, Chair Wohl. It was just good to read the resolution and see that obviously permitting would be taking place as things go along, and I see that checking with indigenous citizens and is all required as part of the process. So I appreciated having the resolution.
I have a question. I guess presidential permits, you mentioned those. Are they, is that, what's the process for that exactly? Is that, so if we go between two countries, say a pipeline from Canada to the U.S., is that the only way it can happen? And what else is needed besides a presidential permit?
I suppose I will have to get back to you, Representative Wohl, on what else is needed. I do know that on the U.S. side, we need a presidential permit to cross. But on the Canadian side, they don't have anything like that. What was explained to us by some of the companies was their biggest thing they have to work with on going through the land, not so much getting to the border and getting across it, but working with the First Nations and Canada and the land part of it, not so much the border.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would be curious to see a map of kind of what this would all look like. I'm not sure if that's something you guys already have, but it would be helpful for me just to visualize it.
Of course. Through the chair, Representative Rasmussen, we can get you a map of what both companies have envisioned.
Thank you. And maybe by next hearing we can have some visuals to sort of visualize this, because I, too, don't know where exactly it would be coming across. And as far as where it's going, that's still not determined yet either, correct?
Chair Wohl, both companies, one is Alberta to Alaska A2A, the other one is Generating for Seven Generations, G7G. They both plan on starting in Fort McMurray in Canada and coming up through directly across the border from Delta Junction. G7G has one plan to go down from Delta Junction to, I believe, Seward through the pipeline. And
Valdez, maybe?
A2A plans on going up, or Valdez, yes, I'm sorry. A2A plans on going up into Fairbanks and taking the rail line down.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. We're joined by Senator Hughes. Do you have anything to add?
It's a delight to see all of you. This is Shelley Hughes, Senator for District F, and I'm sure Amy gave you a very good run-by. I'm sorry I was late in another meeting.
That's quite all right. We were just talking about possible routes, where coming into Alaska and then where going once in Alaska. And on Thursday, we will have public testimony and maybe some more visual just to see the map and prospective rail lines.
And Mr. Chair, I don't know what all Amy said, but I will make a couple key points that
sure.
Really drew me to bringing it to the Senate Transportation Committee as a consideration, and that is the fact that it takes zero state dollars, but yet it's a $17 billion project, and that historically it's been something that Congress granted us the authority to have this rail since 1914. We were could have up to 1,000 miles. We've only have 500 right now. This would be an added 250. And the other thing that I think is fascinating to think about is when you think about the development of the West Coast and the lower 48, kind of conquering the Wild West and what happened in the 1800s, and what was that significant thing that occurred that really developed the West Coast, and it was the connection of the rail line. And we are the far Great West, the far north, the far west, the last frontier, and this is a piece that could really bring in opportunity. And the anchor tenant, the product that would be shipped, pencils out for the business interests that have looked at it. And yet that's just the beginning, because as the western ports have become more and more congested, and it just sometimes the companies and the folks that are wanting to ship things over to Asia, they're having to juggle schedules, figure out whether they can get their products out, which port along California, Oregon, Washington, now will open up another opportunity to them. So it beyond the anchor tenant, there's great possibility as far as many things being shipped out, and it wouldn't just benefit one port in our state. It could go to numerous ports, whether, you know, Valdez, Seward, Anchorage, Whittier, Matsu, if that port ever got developed. So there's great opportunity that could get spread around the state. And I know when the senator from Juneau was wondering somehow if we could get a little tie-in to Skagway and Haines, and by golly, I'd be fine with that someday too.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me ask a question first.
Sure.
You mentioned the funds needed, $17 billion. Is that what the number you said?
That's the estimated cost of the overall project.
Okay, but...
But not from the state.
Correct. And so that's the private corporations paying from origin to endpoint using Canadian Alaskan lands and whatever right-of-ways they need to acquire, and it's private dollars at this point.
Yes, it is private investment. And while you were mentioning that route, and maybe Amy mentioned this, but one of the things I really like about the business interests that have been exploring this, they've been very, very good about getting their social license with the First Nations people, with Alaska Native people, with all the communities along the route. They have had those conversations from the very get-go and are continuing to have those. And I think that's important and good.
Thank you. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering, would this tie in to the existing, it would connect? So it would be an opportunity basically for some of these communities who may not have infrastructure in place. Is it adding to infrastructure? Is it communities that don't have connectivity to the rest of the state, or is it just going to be in addition to what's already there?
Through the chair, if you look at the border where it come into Delta, it would be infrastructure where there's not. But then once it comes to Delta and then catches up through Fairbanks, of course, those are areas that have roads, and of course Fairbanks has rail that far up. So there would be some new areas where it'd be stretched across.
Follow up?
That I think that is one of the plans. The other plan, and maybe Amy, stop me if I'm repeating, the other plan is to feed the bitumen, liquefy it, and put it into taps, and then unliquefy it. But by the way, and maybe Amy told you this too, there's always been a lot of concern, what if there's a spill? Well, this is like sand, gooey sand. It's almost like some kind of children's play stuff. So if it were to spill, it's very easy to clean up. It doesn't seep into the ground. And they are going to have very well-made containers. And right now, where our Alaska Railroad is certified for shipping diesel, which it does now, which is much more volatile than this would be. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Follow up?
So is there an opportunity? I understand this is for transporting goods, but is there any way that this would work out to where Alaskans had another option for travel via rail into Canada, and then from Canada, could it connect them to the rest of the lower 48? Is that something that's going to be possible from this resolution?
Yeah, through the chair, great question. Initially, it's products, but yes, it could include passenger transportation, and that would be for the tourist industry. It would be another expansion of a good industry in our state. And I had some folks concerned about border security and such, and And if that question pops into mind, I am sure that if someone were crossing that, they'd have to meet the same requirements that if they were coming by road, as far as to and crossing the border. So.
Hello.
Sorry. So I just don't. I'm not sure if I understand the logistics. If this project, so say the rail is put in through a private company, how would it work to then have a partnership with, like, the Alaska Railroad, for example, to transition to the passengers? Like, I don't know how that all would work.
Mr. Chair, I think that Tim Sullivan with the Alaska Railroad might be online, and he'd be better suited to answer that question.
Yeah, Mr. Sullivan, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, I am. Those are some of the details we're discussing in terms of ongoing conversations we're having with A2A and others, how exactly that could work out in the future, but those are still to be developed at this time.
Thank you. And that was Tim Sullivan from the Alaska Railroad, for the record. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to follow up on Representative Rasmussen's question, then the original intent of this rail line would be to transport fuel, whether it be gas or oil or whatever it might be. Is that the intent?
What I'm calling the anchor tenant is actually bitumen, which is this crude that's in a semi-solid form. Maybe someone resources might be able to describe it and define it better. So that's enough for it to pencil out and for the project to work. And so anything else on top of that is icing on the cake, whether it's passenger service or other goods that are needing to come. Particularly, I'm thinking in our area, whether to Alaska itself or to the Asian markets, that, we've all heard, especially as transportation members, you know that the shipping distance between our ports to Asia is closer than from the West Coast. So, yes, they might have to kind of come up and around to come into Alaska, but what they'd make up in the water time, it would still be a very viable option for folks wanting to get their things to Asian markets from the lower 48.
Follow up.
Thank you. So does that company, you said bitumen, are they currently operating in Alaska?
No, and that's not the name of the company. That's the name of the product, and it is actually waiting for a way to be shipped out, and so this is where the business interest on more than one front has come in, because there's a market need to ship it out, and Alaska seems like a good option for that.
I see. Thank you.
Is this also referred to as tar sand? Is that the same thing?
Yes.
So basically they're going to have tar sand from Canada, put it on trains, ship it to Alaska ports, and then ship the tar sand elsewhere for refinement or for sale in other markets. Is that?
That's correct, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Thank you. And I guess following up on Representative Rasmussen, the origin of this train in Alberta, would that also connect by rail to lower 48, or is that a spur line that doesn't go anywhere else, or do we know?
Thank you for the question. Yes, it does. Alberta is connected to the lower 48.
Okay.
So, and Tim may know this, yes, definitely. There may be something coming from different directions in
right.
Alberta. I'm not sure, but it really does open up the entire United States traffic for us.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee? Representative Clement?
In the resolution, it references the estimated cost at $17 billion. How many miles is this whole rail link, including from Alberta?
It's from Alberta to our border, it's 1,200, and from our border to Fairbanks, 250 miles.
And is the $17 billion just the 250 to Fairbanks, or the whole length of this rail?
It's the whole length.
I would just opine, not having done estimates, $17 million sounds kind of low to me at what it would cost to build that kind of a railroad.
Billion, you said?
Billion.
Yeah, okay.
$17 billion sounds low.
Well, maybe we can hear from Mr. Sullivan. Mr. Sullivan, did you hear the discussion about the cost of the rail?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clayman, yeah, the $17 billion is sort of the walking around number. For rough estimates, usually building rail is anywhere from about $8 to $10 million a mile. Considering those conditions, it's probably going to be closer to the $10 million per mile number, which is where they get that $17 billion.
So if we have 1,200 plus 250 times 10 million, that's 17 billion. Is that? I don't have my.
Chairman, roughly.
I don't have my zeros all lined up just yet, but okay. Representative Shelley, Senator Hughes.
Hey, you works too. just to say too that my understanding is that these business interests, if this all comes together, and the presidential permit is issued and things go well, and they seem to be in that direction, there seems to be good social license that this is actually something where rail could be laid on the Alaska side by 2022, 2023. So we're not talking about something many years off. It's something that could be really helpful as far as for economic diversification and a boost to our state within a matter of a few years.
And we have a member of this committee that's trying to get train from Fairbanks to Delta as we speak, so maybe they could be done at the same time. Any other questions from the committee? Representative Stutes.
Comment?
Sure.
Earlier when you were talking, Senator, you said it's like opening up the West, how the West was. Are you telling us we could end up like California?
No, through the chair, we would be make sure we have Alaskan touch on it. Yeah, how the Wild West was won, I think that was the phrase. And yeah,
it might be more similar to the Trans-Siberian railway, and I guess that would be the next extension from Fairbanks to Nome and then to Siberia. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several years ago, I think the market is definitely there. Several years ago, I drove from Anchorage to Haines to take the ferry to Southeast Alaska, and on the way from beyond Fairbanks, there were Walmart trucks and Sam's Club trucks heading south onto the Alaska-Canada Highway. And when I got back to Anchorage, I asked the port director if those trucks originated in Anchorage, and they had indeed, because the West Coast ports were congested at the time. There were issues getting in, and it was faster for them to send their material overland from the port of Anchorage to the Midwest, where their markets were. So that
wow,
and that's just on our little old two-lane Alaska Highway. It was pretty eye-opening for me, and this was about 9 or 10 years ago.
Through the chair, thank you for that insight. That's really interesting.
Well, we just did have a presentation on the port of Nome, and maybe this could be another export export port. Anyhow, getting ahead of ourselves. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, I believe we will have public testimony on Thursday for this bill. Get caught up on my notes here. And Thursday, April 25th, we'll take public testimony. And this concludes our business for today. So stick around, committee members, to sign the other two bills we passed. And with that, it's 1:48.